Welcome to another edition of Mr. Sledge's After Party, the supplemental episode where I talk about topics not fit for normal consumption. Which, coming from me, says a lot. So if you are easily offended by adult language, you won't have to worry a ton this week because I don't plan on being that terrible. Don't worry, I don't plan on being decent for that long. So strap in, strap on, and listen to while I talk about investing?
Okay, you know how we're looking to get a little respect? What if we got that marionette and put on an awesome kick-ass puppet show?
With one marionette?
Okay, how about this? Hal Holbrook as Mark Twain.
You mean we dress up the marionette as Hal Holbrook doing Mark Twain?
No, the marionette's not in it anymore. We get Hal Holbrook to come to Viridian and do Mark Twain.
Still not seeing it.
Okay, what if we stage a fight where we beat up Hal Holbrook?
As Mark Twain.
No, Mark Twain's not in it anymore.
I don't know.
Yeah, maybe there's nothing there.
So, last week I had the pleasure of having a lunch date with fellow nerd compatriot, Dr. Doom apologist Grant, aka Jerry. After a beer-filled lunch, we waddled our pasty forms a whole mile to a comic book store, where I bought my son a broken Batmobile, Flash 22, and enjoyed the warm spring air of Traverse City. Along the way, we did what middle-aged white guys do, talk about stocks. Grant got in on the Netflix back when I was critical of their business model's ability to generate income, much to his benefit. I was all a Twitter about EA and Activision's Blizzard's performance. It dawned on me that investing in things we enjoy and consume can lead to big dividends. I know this shouldn't come as a huge shock, but it does constantly to the financial world dominated by boomers who have yet set their notions of what sound investment should be, or by corporate media conglomerates trying to explain things to a general audience. Before I go on, let me say that you should never take investing advice from a podcast. Do your own market research and find a qualified advisor. When I left academia, I started working full-time for an electronics boutique. My dad condescendingly asked why I would do this. Now my father had good reason to be skeptical on many fronts. He watched me labor through graduate school to earn a master's while I barely utilized it. And he didn't expect I would make enough money to support my wife after just getting married. After I explained I would in fact make more money in retail management than I would teaching, and that my wife would always make more money than me regardless of how many titles I got after my name, he then called gaming a fad. He was right to be skeptical on that front as well. He saw the boom and bust of the home video game consoles during the 80s. He naturally thought that it was heading into a dead-end industry. Hell, if Atari can crash and burn, and Sega can manufacture themselves into bankruptcy despite being universally loved, what could the future hold for video games? The market had proved that it couldn't last. And that was the problem. The market was made up of old investors that couldn't see this was the dawning of a multimedia golden age. Back before the internet was public, I spent a lot of time on BBS boards playing simple text-based games with other live humans or direct dialing friends so we could play Doom or MechWarrior together. Why my father couldn't see the potential at the time was firmly rooted in the fact that nobody in his age bracket were playing these games. Or if they were, they certainly didn't have an income level that should be aspired to. They were weirdos or hobbyists whose engineering pursuits somewhere went awry. Hell, I even believed him for the first 22 years of my life, especially after the dot-com bubble burst. It wasn't until grad school that I started having professors start mentioning investment opportunities in video game startups. See, college professors see what the youth play and participate in. They know how much buying power the current students would have soon, and if their habits continued, there was going to be a huge chance for making money. Fast forward to today. The company sitting on top of the S&P 500 right now is Activision Blizzard, followed closely by Electronic Arts. EA's stock is up 668% over the past 5 years. Activision Blizzard is up 512% over the same period. These juggernauts are modern corporations. They buy out smaller companies with gusto, treat their employees as disposable cogs, and seek market dominance. Plus, they are flush with cash and highly profitable. Look at Take-Two Interactive. Their earnings were up 38% last quarter. We expected it high, but this is incredible. It gets even more incredible when you see that in-game content purchases made up 25% of that increase. What makes it even more amazing is they haven't had a blockbuster game release since 2013 when Grand Theft Auto V came out, and that still makes up 30% of their revenue. Sure, the new Red Dead got pushed until next year, but who cares if you can keep making money off of old code? Now let's look at esports, something that confounds even me at times. Esports is huge and just continuing to get more popular. Last year, Leagues of Legends Championship Tournament had 42 million viewers, which was more than Game 7 of the NBA Finals or even the World Series. Hell, universities have MLG teams and are even building stadiums for esports, which blows my mind because wouldn't you just want VR viewing instead of investing in a new stadium? Plus, this is growing globally, not just in the United States. Advertising in video games isn't new, but we have barely scratched the surface of what is possible. Social media has advertising nailed down. As soon as in-game advertising algorithms become as viable as Facebook's, you will see even more money flood into companies with virtual world presences. My dad's thinking at the time seemed valid enough to him because he didn't see his peers doing it, and it didn't feel safe. It was risky. Which it was. It's not anymore. These are big-time players that dwarf Hollywood studios, retailers, and manufacturers. So, why doesn't your portfolio have some video game companies in it?
Now every child can have hours of repulsive fun.
Pete Gilroy's team is working on a similar system, and the company's only going to go forward with one. So, we need to make damn sure that it is the Floater. Yeah, that's not such a good name.
What about the Astronaut? You know, because it's crazy.
Has waving your hands ever sold me on anything? Remember, corpse-eating battlefield robot. No. What we have here is the Dream Glider. That's fantastic.
That's fantastic.
This technology also has exciting military potential. Imagine soldiers hovering above a magnetized battlefield. The Chinese won't know what hit them. Oh, come on. We all know that war's coming.
Thanks for tuning in to Mr. Sledge's After Party. And don't forget to say hi to us at the Grand Rapids Comic Con. Maybe I can ship myself there when nobody is looking. I'm Kevin, reminding you that just because you can get away with it, doesn't mean I don't already hold you responsible. Bye!